Blog Talk Radio.
That the black man should control the politics of his own community and control the politicians who are in his own community. My personal economic philosophy is also black nationalism, which means that the black man should have a hand in controlling the economy of the so-called Negro community. He should be developing the type of knowledge that will enable him to own and operate the businesses and thereby be able to create employment for his own people, for his own kind. And the social philosophy also is black nationalism, which means that instead of the black man trying to force himself into the society of the white man, we should be trying to eliminate from our own society the ills and the defects and make ourselves likable and sociable among our own kind.
You seem to be dissatisfied with everything. Just what do you want?
I'm not dissatisfied with everything. What you are able to see with your analytical mind is that everything that is offered doesn't produce what it's supposed to produce. And I'm just telling you that it doesn't produce what it produces, what it's supposed to produce.
Well, what is your ultimate aim?
The only way the problem can be solved. First, the white man and the black man have to be able to sit down at the same table. The white man has to feel free to speak his mind without hurting the feelings of that Negro. And the so-called Negro has to feel free to speak his mind without hurting the feelings of the white man. Then they can bring the issues that are under the rug out on top of the table and take an intelligent approach to get the problem solved. That's the only way that they'll ever do it. We need an action program while we are Muslim, or while we are Christian, or while we are whatever we are. We still need an action program that will eliminate these evils that are in our community. This is what we're trying to do with the Muslim Mosque Incorporated.
Do you consider yourself militant?
I consider myself Malcolm.
And greetings. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection, and Liberation. Of course, you just heard El Hazmi Lik El Shabazz, also known as Malcolm X. Yesterday, we had the opportunity to attend the annual 58th year, by the way, of the pilgrimage to the grave site, Malcolm X grave site. Highly spirited. For those who really kind of was able to grasp what was going on, certainly the blessings were there. Filling used to go really, really strong years ago, a few years back, with the caravan, bus, and so forth. That has dissipated quite a bit because the people who were really serious about certain things are either no longer in Philadelphia, no longer on the planet, and so forth. As a result, our community here in Philadelphia has just dwindled down to almost next to nothing. But it was a beautiful event. Big ups to my New York family. It's always good to see them and to be around them, particularly being here in Philadelphia. It's good to get out and be amongst some serious and later on, family, we're going to give you some real interesting analysis. The election just took place here in Philadelphia for the mayor, and it was an upset. A black woman won, y'all. Now, that's not to say a whole lot's going to change, but it was definitely interesting when you had two very prominent business millionaire type folks of Jewish background to run, and they lost. And that was shocking for me, for Philly. But anyway, we're going to give you a little insight into some of that. But again, big ups to Dr. Small, Professor Small, the Sons of Africa, our New York family, and just everyone really that came out and supported the coming together again. In honor of, in thoughts of the great Malcolm X. Now, we're going to do an open mic tonight. And with that, we're going to ask a question, which is, do we now do? Meaning, we talk about Brother Malcolm as we do with others. We read their books, or we hear their tapes, or we look at their videos. But the question for me now is, what are we going to do that represents what they talked about and what they were doing? And particularly, again, as we talk now about Malcolm X. So we're going to have an open mic that kind of goes into that. Big shout out again to my New York family, sister Keisha. I didn't see her yesterday, but I want to remind everyone that the next Thorough Black Talk, stay tuned. Now, Brother Raza Khan was supposed to come on Thursday, and unfortunately there were some technical difficulties, which will be straightened out by this coming Thursday at 8 o'clock. Check it out. There's some updates that just happened, and I'm not even going to say it tonight. I'm going to let Brother Raz bring it on Sister Keisha program on Thursday. But there is some very interesting updates with what he's now going to add on to his report on Mumia Abu-Jamal. Okay, so y'all hang in there. Stay tight. 8 o'clock Thursday. Check it out. It's going to be really interesting. The other thing, too, again, for tomorrow, Brother Lee has a dynamite program, and that is, of course, Africa on the Move. That's coming on at 7 o'clock, and that is, of course, on Blog Talk Radio. And big shout out to Brother Kalonji. I don't know if y'all caught yesterday's Black Power Media program where Brother, it was off the hook. He had my elder, Baba Abiodun from The Last Poets, Baba Bilal Sunni Ali. Jean Khan was on. I don't know if y'all remember her, but see, I'm from Philly, so anybody from Philly, I kind of will know no matter what year they was happening. But that program was dynamite. He had the Watts Poets on, a brother from the Watts Poets. That thing was off the hook because yesterday was also the 55th year anniversary of the founding of The Last Poets. So that's what they were talking about, and also talking about, you know, not only hip hop but rap. And the brother from the Watts Poets, he broke down the real concept as he understood it 50 something years ago in terms of rap, and definitely not in the context of today. But they broke down how H. Rap Brown became H. Rap Brown, right? So it was really, really good. So you're able to check it out on YouTube. Just go to Black Power Media, and you'll be able to check that program out. Again, it was very, very good. Mama Basima and I was checking it out on our way coming back from New York. And I mean, they was dropping some real jewels. I had no idea that Jim Brown, and of course he just became an ancestor yesterday, but who knew that he was one of the first managers for Earth, Wind, and Fire. They were bringing some serious information last night. So, again, big ups to Kalonji. That was really, really a very good program. Okay, so I done gave folks their props and promoted their programs. So moving on to tonight. Tonight, we are going to talk more about what we were talking about last week, which, of course, was Nanny Helen Burroughs. Again, who knew? Who had heard about her prior to last week? And I'll be honest with you, I just recently learned about her, heard about her. And so, you know, I got to tell you, I mean, it's really not only interesting, but it's disturbing to know how much of our history is kept away from us. And you would figure in this day and age, with all of the scholars, historians, and others that we have, how come we never heard of this great black woman that started a school for girls and women, by the way, right? Independent. I mean, in D.C., of all places. So, again, we're going to talk a little more about her tonight, and hopefully joining me very shortly will be Colonel James Wyatt, who has done a tremendous amount of research on Nanny Helen Burroughs and also his wife, Patricia. I got a chance to speak with them a few months back. And so we are beginning to, you know, rekindle the conversation and, of course, you know, begin to do some other things. But today marks the ancestral day of Nanny Helen Burroughs. And last week, interestingly enough, was the commemoration of her Earth Day. But today marks the day that she actually became an ancestor. And by the way, speaking of ancestor, and then we're going to kind of go to the open mic while we're waiting for the Wyatts to come in. But today was also the Earth Day or the Born Day for ancestor Del Jones. May 19th, Del Jones, the war correspondent known for his writings, Culture Bandits, Black Holocaust, and so forth. So we're going to kind of revisit some of the work of Del Jones also. And again, ask, where are our writers today, our journalists? We do have folks that I call communicators because we got a lot of, you know, independent media stuff now. But again, all across the board, where are we filling in these gaps? Okay, so we want to begin to examine that. And again, I'm going to reintroduce the fact that we do have a newspaper. The National Black Unity News is our newspaper. I'm one of the editors for that paper. And we have a special edition coming out, 4 Million Woman March in July, which will feature the upcoming Queen Mother Moore weekend, our first steps in installing her and others, and so forth and so on. So we'll give you more information about that shortly. But let's go to the live line, and let's begin to ask the question that I wanted to raise in commemoration of Malcolm X, and that is, what are we talking about doing to further Brother Malcolm's work, particularly as we look at Black nationalism, which is what I started off with. You heard him kind of give you some insight into what Black nationalism is. Where is it at today? How is it being practiced or put into more of a functional way of being today? Who's talking about it today? Etc. So we want to examine that. And of course, as I said, you know, where do we go from here with all the work that Malcolm X did and, of course, giving his life? Where do we go from here? Yesterday was beautiful, needless to say. However, where do we go from here? So let's go to our live line. And before we bring in the Wyatts, let's talk with some of you and get some opinions or thoughts from you. So let's go to caller at 9498. 9498, your mic is open. Welcome to the segment of New Day.
Sister Filet, what's going on?
Hey, Brother Ray Ray. Oh, yeah. So Brother Ray Ray yesterday, like I said, my New York family, always good to be with them. Hey, Brother Ray Ray, how you doing today, brother?
Well, I had a good time, but it was good to see you, Razakhan and Pam, and I truly believe, because, see, we go out there, we've been going out there, but I truly believe the days of all the buses coming out there is over.
Yeah.
I truly believe that the days of the massive you know, buses and everybody being out there is, unless you go out there by car, family. Well, they had two buses, but I think that's going to be it, you know. I don't think it's going to be massive. I think because of the cemetery. I just got a strange feeling because of the cemetery. And the scamdemic is never going to be opened up to the old way. I just got a funny feeling that that they're not going to allow the Detroit family didn't even come this year.
Right.
Usually they have a heavy, you know, from Detroit.
Right.
You know, they didn't even come. So it's just, that's just in the back of my head. God willing and the creek don't rise. Hopefully next year we will see. But it was always good to get out there, and, you know, you got Khalid and everybody, you know, in the same place.
Yeah.
But Malcolm, And you know, the UNIA, I'm going out there. They got a big store out in Queens.
I heard.
And that's the show enough economic part of doing for self that Malcolm always talked about. And his teachings will live forever. It will never be another one. These new Negroes they got out here today, you know. Now, let me ask you a question, Sister Filet and family. And family.
Right.
You got a woman, black mayor.
You to call in.
And I truly believe she's definitely Boule. Controlled, as all of them are, because it's happening all over. That these blacks is in the cities now, and you know, they all controlled. So I doubt very much if it be any. Y'all been down that road before. Y'all had a black in there before. Y'all been down that road before.
We had at least three prior to this one. But what
right.
is your question?
Been
is,
now,
she, is she Boule or what? What's the actual question?
That's what I'm asking.
Oh, okay. So so here's the reality. 90%
we shall see.
Right, right. 90, roughly, from my observation, Brother Ray Ray, 90% all over the country of so-called black elected officials are Boule.
They Boule in New York, In New York, they
right.
all controlled by Michael Bloomberg. Bloomberg
right.
is controlled. Bloomberg controls all of them.
Or party. See, this is what people don't understand about these parties. These are not independent people. They're running
right.
with and in the parties. So
right.
you're not going to get but so much out of that. So anytime, for the most part, anytime you see people running and winning, they have to, in many ways, meet the agenda of their backers. That's why when you get an endorsement of a union or you get the endorsement of the party or whatever, what does that mean in real time? And
right,
what that
right.
means is you're going to have to deal with some of the agenda of what they, because they put up money to get you in there or get them in
yeah.
there, right? So that's how that stuff operates. And our people are very naive. You know, not to know and understand that that's what's really going on. So to answer your question, yes, particularly she ran on the Democratic ticket.
Man.
So that in itself tells you she has an allegiance and an alliance with the Democratic Party. As they
Which
all
has
do.
A big alliance. Yeah. So,
right.
You and I got and like I was telling you, all these other folks that come through, they find any little hole in the wall and open up some kind of business. And I believe that you and I can really show you how to get it.
Right, right. Well,
Malcolm did talk about doing for self, and his speeches was fiery. They're never going to go away. But do we follow them to the T? I don't think so.
Well, I mean, it's obvious that that's not happening. I mean, it's been 50 years. So
that's right.
It's obvious that that's not happening.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But the question has to be, brother, what can we do for it to happen? What do we need to do to make some of this stuff happen?
Well, I, you know, like I was telling you before, in Philly, Philly family, New York is done. You ain't getting, New York is finished, finito. At least in Philly, you still got a chance. Now, if this person is of any substance at all, let's see if she'll help y'all with that building.
Well,
that's what I'm talking
about.
Because y'all done did the first step in doing something that's phenomenal.
Yes.
And y'all didn't talk. Yes. Y'all went in there and did it.
Yep, we
y'all
did.
Y'all didn't talk. Y'all went in there and did it. That ain't happening in New York. New York people is controlled by Jews. Hats. They're not taking over buildings in New York. Y'all did it.
What I'm saying is each city has its own dynamic. So you have to examine in what city what can be accomplished, meaning, okay, so for New York, we know, you know, based on your analysis, that property and those kind of things, that ain't going to happen. But what you can do, what we have to do is look to see what is it that can be accomplished. Now, like you said, the brother there in the borough, I forget which borough you said, but they got a grocery store now. So my point is,
they got a supermarket.
Right. So my point is, they were able to accomplish that in New York, right? So my point is, we have to look at what could be accomplished in whatever area we're in. What can actually be accomplished? See, so we know property is not one of the things there, but we have to look at what can be done. That's what we have to now look at.
Well, y'all done did the first step. Philly done did the first step with that building, and that's a nice size building.
Yes, it is. Yep. And we're going to the next step. But now, I expect anything from this mayor coming in? No, unless we force the issue. And see, that's something that can sometimes happen. You can force the issue based on either information. For example, we've learned that there's been inside trading in some of these offices dealing with property. Somebody inside of one of the offices, and I think you heard him on our program before, but he's literally giving us information that shows where sheriff's office combined with some of the other entities literally kind of gave properties to corporations. So my point is, we have enough information to bring to the forefront to use that as weapons to fight back.
Right.
See, it ain't like they're going to really, you know, do so much or try to help or whatever, but we can force the hand a little bit now looking to file class action suits and other things. So, you know, and so that's what we're working on now.
Well, I give y'all credit on that one. So, you know, y'all doing it up. It ain't happening in New York. New York is disgusting. I mean, Philadelphia Women's Million Women's March and the people connected to y'all did excellent. I give you credit. I took a building. White folks sneaking buildings in Brooklyn. When blacks try to sneak in buildings and claim squatters' rights and then try to get some finance from the city, the Jews come and call the police and throw them out. whites come into the city, sneak in the buildings that are abandoned, and then they claim squatters' rights, and they give them loans. I saw them do it around here in a crack house that sat there for years, and we had a chance to get it. Nobody thought that this was going to happen. They could have got that building for less than nothing. They squatted in that building right around the corner from where I live, and they got parking and everything. And they did not throw them out. They gave them money to fix that building, and they took a couple other buildings around here. So
yeah.
I give y'all credit.
Right, but I'm just saying again, Brother
credit.
Ray, each area has to examine what's the possibility of accomplishing something area. There's got to be something that can be accomplished, that black folks can accomplish. And this is what we have to now look at and examine. And we're going to talk more about what our plan of action is to do that, because you know we got some plan of actions to do that, right?
Well, look, the teachings of Malcolm, do for self, yourself and the Philadelphia family, I give it to you because y'all have taken the first step. In New York, these Negroes, these GMO Negroes, as Darren calls them, non-GMO Negroes and sellouts, from Mayor Adams all the way down and his flunky friends and all them, they are just giving the city away to the developers. They're disgusting.
Well, this is all over. They
talk tough to black people and say this and that, but when they confront their masters, them hats, you don't hear none of that tough stuff. They disgust me with what they're doing. So I give y'all credit, you know. And Malcolm or not, they say. Matter of fact, they won't even say Malcolm. Unless, you know. So I give y'all credit a million times, man.
But see, I'm really asking the question not from the Boule people or the Negropeans. I'm not asking them that question. That's not who I'm asking the question to. I'm asking the question to the people who say they love Brother Malcolm or Dr. Condit, or I'm talking about them.
It ain't happening.
See,
that's just talk.
Right. But see, then that has to be pointed out. That
y'all
has to be
Y'all set the stage. Y'all have accomplished something without saying, with saying Malcolm, Khalid, y'all have did it. Everybody else will say one thing and won't. It ain't happening in New York. I don't care who they. Yesterday, I mean, when we was out at Malcolm's thing, and they got the bus, and then they canceled the bus, and then they call themselves calling the city council person from Harlem and the other guy that they let speak.
Uh-huh.
Remember?
Right, in Harlem.
I don't care what nonsense they was talking about trying to look good and sound good up at the gravesite. But in Harlem, every black belongs to National Inaction Network. Everyone. They all kiss his ring, so I don't care what nonsense they was running their mouth up there. It meant nothing, because I went up there. I said, if y'all stand on your own 2 feet and get away from those, they'd be all right. And they just laugh because they apart. So you can forget about it. I don't care what nonsense they talking about, Malcolm, this is all bullshit. I mean, it's all bullcrap. Sorry for the station's sake. So y'all did. And I give y'all credit. New York, it ain't happening because everybody, they all controlled. So you do what you got to do for y'all. Anyway, you get the job done because y'all took the first step. And I think you're going to be victorious.
Ashe. All right now. I love that thought. Yes, indeed.
They got a lot of people. They got a lot of people quote Malcolm and Khalid and all this. And you know, back in the old days, they even King, ain't nobody wanted to be around him neither. They running around. Everybody did this and that with individuals. And when you get the real deal, they ain't want to, they was nowhere around them. And in New York, now that you got a black, these blacks doing stuff, they doing this, as Amos said, these civil rights leaders and all these folks are controlled, and they act worse than whitey. They should never talk about what Donald Trump is doing, what these Democrats done pulled off in New York and through the United. They should never talk about Donald Trump. Because blacks are worse when they get up in there. Negroes in high places are worse when they get up in there. They shouldn't mention Donald Trump's name. Because they act just like white folks. They act just like Donald Trump and white folks when they get up in there. And doodle on their own people. Let me get off my soapbox. See you later.
All right, my brother. Good day. Well, you know, that was Brother Ray Ray family. And, you know, I mean, sometimes we have to speak truth to power and appreciate, you know, doing that and him saying it. But it is what it is. But as I always say, you know, what is our plan? And, again, I bring that to the folk who say they are about A, B, N, or C. But, again, yesterday was a great day. The weather was wonderful, and for me it was the spirit of just, you know, being you know, at a location where, you know, on that level we know that we could kind of interact on that kind of other realm, and for me the spirit of Brother Malcolm was there, the spirit of Dr. Betty Shabazz was there, the spirit of Dr. Khalid was there. And so, you know, it's really sometimes up to the person. And this is what we learned from Brother Malcolm. And he taught and said, you know, take your religion and do whatever you want to do with your religion. But our focus has to be on our people. And so for me, you know, that's the way I deal with it. That's the way I see it. And that's the way I feel it. So again, family, I ask the question, if anyone has a comment or a thought about what can we do? Where do we go from here? Brother Malcolm taught us, showed us about black nationalism, told us what it was, what it should be, what it can be. What are we taught about? And Brother Ray just shared with us that the UNIA up in New York, they do now have a grocery store, a supermarket. They've done it. They're doing it. And so that, too, now is an example. But what are we talking about that we can do? And don't get me wrong, some of us are, in fact, supporting one another. Again, you know, I have my New York family, Detroit, Chicago. But I'm saying in this day and age, where are our organizations? How are we going to be organized? And again, UNIA, New York, that's an example. But come on, black folks is all over the darn country. What are we talking about that's not connected to the system? And that, again, is what we're saying. Where it's not depending on the grants and the corporate sponsoring. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about people raising the old monies to do what needs to be done. So family, I'm going to open the lines back up for you. For whatever reason, our guest that we thought would be calling in has not done so yet. So I'm sure that Sister Angela will be in a few moments. And that is our Sister Angela Khalifa, who is from the Nat Turner Library, okay? And so, let me see. She should be calling in very shortly, all right? And anyway, while we're waiting, because we're going to get the updates on what's coming up for the Nat Turner Day, Oh, yeah, we want folks to get ready for that. And the plan, because we need to be, again, supporting black self-determination, black nationalism. They own that land. A family, the Khalifa family, owns that land. And they want to do business with whomever, any of us. And the sister will tell you more about that as we proceed. But in the meantime, what can we do, family? What is your suggestions about what we can do? Brother Ray Ray, they have every other week the Mackey Study Group, Black History Study Group, every other week. Now, that's an action. So what are we talking about in our communities that has consistency? I mean, the festivals are nice. The conferences are nice. But again, you know, once or twice a year, that's going on. What, we can't survive off of that. So what are we talking about now doing that is going to build, lend to us developing the networks and the other mechanisms that we need to do? So again, if there's any suggestions or other thoughts about what I'm asking, you can press one now. I would love to hear from you. Again, land to grow our own food, the capability to educate our own people. How can we do that? When will we begin to do that? These are some of the things now that we're talking about having to do. Should have been did them, actually, to a greater extent. But now, with the way things are going, I dare say if we don't begin to map some of this stuff out, you can best believe things are only going to get worse. So what's some of the plans or the thought or the possibility of the plans? Again, if you have a suggestion or idea, please press one now because we really need to start getting to the nitty-gritty of what it is that we need to do. Okay, I'm going to go back to, I think Brother Ray Ray has a comment again, so we're going to go back to Brother Ray Ray. All right, Brother Ray Ray.
Yeah, but just one point I wanted to make. Malcolm was so serious and dedicated. Dr. Clark said in one of his lectures that they offered Malcolm $500,000 to go with the flow. Malcolm turned it down. They tried to buy him off. He said no.
That's what they do.
Now, listen, they buy the secret relationship between blacks and Jews, when they said Jews ran the slave trade, they oiled us up when we came off the ship, they threw corks in your behind. The Jews did that according to the secret relationship between blacks and Jews. And they feel that they can buy us. They buy our black politicians. They've done brought whoever this black mayor is in all these major cities. You know how they do. And they tried to buy him. And he was so dedicated to his, you just don't get people like that. They come once in a million. He turned down. And then at that time in history, that type of money, he could have easily said yes and played the role like these Negroes do today.
Right.
And
right.
Then like Amos and all of them that gave up fame and fortune, big cars, those are real serious people. They said Dr. King only didn't even have, what, 30,000? He had, what, a couple of thousand dollars in his bank account.
So, again, these are the things that we know. And to me, it's not just the Jewish people that do that. It is all of them.
Yeah,
so,
he turned down. He could have easily took that money. He could have easily took that money. That's how serious this man was.
So what we obviously need to do now, my brother, is figure out how are we going to bring forward that kind of energy, commitment, what have you. It's on us. We can't just be sitting back going, you know, well, look, what are we going to do that is going to create whatever it is we're talking about? That, because that's what has to happen. But Brother Ray Ray, stay right there. I see Sister Angela's in queue, and I want to bring her in now because she's traveling, and I want to grab her up before she has to move on to her next location. So we're going to bring Sister Angela in right now, and we're, again, family, going to talk about what's coming up in August. Now, I know that's 2 months away, but we need to plan accordingly because we need to look at traveling for this great event, activity, and so forth. So without further ado, let's bring in Sister Angela Khalifa. Greetings to you, my sister.
Greetings, peace and love, soul family. How are you?
Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful. Oh, thank you for taking the time. Yes, thank you for taking the time. I know you're traveling, so I really appreciate you and the family, you know, taking the time out to join us. But we want to get people ready because, you know, 2 months will be here in no time. And so we want to make sure folks have enough time to plan and, you know, and make sure they can, hey, summer's coming. Take the family on a day trip, a little trip, 2-day trip.
Absolutely.
So what's going on? First of all, let's go into, I know everybody has heard of Nat Turner, but let's go into why this is such an important activity program that's coming up in August.
So first, let me just thank you so much for inviting me onto your platform. And, you know, I speak on behalf of the Nat Turner Library. We're in Southampton County, Virginia. And my voice represents Elder Khalifa, who is the founder of the Nat Turner mm-hmm. Library, who is also the father of independent black publishing. I also represent the voice of my husband, Brother Khalifa, who is the president mm-hmm. of the Nat Turner Library. So I just wanted to say that they send their greetings, and we are so honored to just be represented on your show tonight.
Wonderful.
So as far as August is concerned, as you just mentioned, August, of course, a part of Black August. We're so excited about that. We are starting our year of events in August this year. Traditionally, mm-hmm. we have our Black Book Awards usually always and will continue to be, other than this year, the first weekend of June. It's always the first Saturday of June. And this year we decided to move that as a part of our Black August festivities because we are developing the land and we kind of need more time just to do some more preparatory things that are necessary to receive, mm-hmm. You know, our guests. So August is that time. And mm-hmm. Nat Turner Day, that's the big event that we usually always celebrate, and that is always on August 21st. The celebration annually, Dr. Umar Ifatunde joins us, and he's always our guest lecturer on that day. We offer a tour, a Nat Turner Trail Tour, which traces the steps of our dear brother, General Nat Turner, and the Black Liberation Army of August 21st, that weekend. So we actually have, you know, location sites as to where they planned it, in Cabin Pond, the church outside from which he spoke, and several other locations. So that's a part of that tour. And then Empress Shi, I know also you have some things that you're working on for that weekend as well.
Yep, absolutely. And we're going to tell folks about that very shortly, but I want to go back for 1 minute for those who do not know, and I know you have to run, but the 21st, why is that so significant? August 21st.
Well, that's, you know, that is the day of the revolt. I mean, that's the anniversary of that revolt, and that's so important. You know, we had that eclipse during that season. That is a time for us to reflect. It is a time for us to really tap into what the purpose of the revolt was all about. You know, that was a moment, that was a season, that was important. However, and in addition to today, where are we? How can we resurrect that spirit, Matt Turner, today? And so each year, as we acknowledge him, we're not just talking about August 21st, 1831. We're talking about August 21st of the present. You know, where are we? And so that is what's happening. And we're just keeping the spirit alive. We're keeping the momentum alive. We're keeping that, you know, freedom fighter activism spirit of going forward. And so that's what this is about. This is our time, and this is forever and always. So we're thankful for that. And I know the ancestors are pleased.
Ashe. So let me fast forward for a moment. So, family, one of the things that Sister Angela and I have been talking about over the past few months actually is a collaboration, meaning, you know, and what we talked about earlier is what are we going to do as a people that exemplifies some of what our ancestors did, showed us, taught us, and so forth. And some of those things have to be proactive. What we're going to do, actually do collectively in the form of collaborations and so forth. So Sister Angela and I have come up with a few things, and we're in the process of exemplifying what some of those things are. And August, with it also being Black August, which is something that many commemorate all over the country, we're going to be combining some of our elements and energies to really now, again, demonstrate some of what we have learned or some of the we have embraced that our ancestors have shown us. So with that said, MWM will be partnering, working with the Nat Turner Library, because they had the actual historical location and area. And so looking at that, we talked about, well, what can we do to connect the black dots? That's already there. We need for people to be able to support and know that it's there and know that, you know, there are other things coming. But what can we do right now? So for August, what MWM is going to focus on is some of the history and legacy of the great Araminta, Harriet Tubman, because this year, well, we're really not sure, Sister Angela, about the year, to be honest with you. Some historians say that she was born in 1820. Some historians say she was born in 1822. So for 2020, we couldn't do anything much because of COVID. And then for 2022, we did start doing something last year, but what we realized was coming out of COVID, it still, you know, just wasn't, people still weren't really, like, ready. So we said, well, we're going to do a year-long commemoration, do some things for 2022 online or whatever, but take it into 2023. So that's where we're at. We're ready to bring that spirit of Harriet Tubman with the spirit of Nat Turner, and with that host of forums and discussions. And so we're looking at doing a day for warriors. How about that, y'all? For lack of a better word, how about freedom fighters? How about that?
Okay.
When are we going to have sessions to focus on how can we support our freedom fighters, our warriors, what some of the things we can begin to do that will help raise up and bring forward what we saw with Nat Turner in the context of today, okay, in the context of today, and Harriet Tubman in freeing our people. What strategies? And so that's what we're going to focus on and want people to begin to participate in. So one of the things, Sister Angela, that I want to put out for tonight is I've created now an Elders Council so the elders can begin to convey to us what their thoughts are about how should we proceed as warriors, freedom fighters, activists for some, but serious. We want to hear from the elders and get some direction, for lack of a better word. See, that's the proper thing to do, to at least hear what they want to share with us. So again, as I spoke with Sister Ansler earlier, I came up with some other thoughts about how we can also connect what we're talking about doing for now and for the future. So I'll be sending letters out to some of the elders that we know are in the communities throughout the U.S., but who are serious, strong, you know, unapologetic. We want to meet with them. We want to have like an indaba with them. Those
beautiful.
Who have experience. I know. Last night I listened to Baba Abiodun from The Last Poets. He was on Brother Kalanji's program. He was incredible. Baba Balasuni Ali, another one. Both of them have the experience of certain things in terms of the movement, and they're up in age now. So to hear the wisdom, and Elder Khalifa and others, to hear their wisdom. So that's one of the sessions that we want to hold for August. And in that way, we can cheer with the youth or the younger generation. This is what the elders have said we need to look at doing, et cetera, et cetera. So that's one of the things that we want to look at doing for that weekend.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yes, we're excited about it. We're on board, and you know, this is something that we're looking forward to, and let's plan, let's make it happen.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so, family, we're going to be doing things on the actual land, but we're also looking at doing things which is not far from where the Nat Turner Library is, and that's Richmond, Virginia. We want to do something there because, remember, Virginia is the location where it said the first slave ships were brought. So from an ancestral standpoint and spiritual standpoint, we strongly feel that we should be doing something in Virginia. Richmond is kind of an easier or more conducive location to meet because where Sister Angela is kind of a little bit away. You know, you got to really kind of go out some, which we love. We love how you're not in the mainstream of things, okay? So, but again, because we're talking about elders, we're looking at, you know, being somewhere, we have to be considerate of making sure that, you know, we can accommodate them as easily as possible. But nevertheless, you know, we want to combine it at some point. But go ahead, Sister Angela, what were we going to say?
No, I was saying indeed. I was just echoing your statement. Yes.
So again, there is, Sister Angela has conveyed to me that there is a burial ground. And Sister Angela, tell us a little bit about the facility that we're looking at using in Richmond.
So, the outdoor facility is the African burial ground. Which is a historic area, Richmond, Virginia, right off of Broad Street. It was the recent subject of, controversy as it relates to the Virginia Commonwealth University hospital utilizing the burial ground. They paved over it, knowing full well that it was an ancestral burial ground. There was no regard for that. And there was a council that was formed. I think it was called the Slave Trail Council, in which there were citizens who rallied against that and won. And so VCU, they had to uproot the concrete, which was so beautiful. So that in itself was a ceremony. But you know, the beautiful thing about it, sister, is that even during the period in which they had concreted that area, the leaves, the flowers, the trees were still finding their way up through the cement. And that was just a very powerful, you know, thing to see. But yeah, but at the end, the end result of it was that, yeah, the cement was uprooted. But yeah, that area now is completely, you know, grassed over. But it's also the area where Gabriel Prosser, he didn't like the last name Prosser to be used with his name, so I'm going to respect the brother. Brother Gabriel, I just used Prosser so that you know who he is, in Richmond. Actually also was hanging at that location, hung at that location as well. There's a lot of energy there. Yeah, there's a African king and queen who are buried there. The name is unknown, but there are markers throughout the area to just signify the historic relevance of that area. But, yeah, the African burial ground. So, yes, weather permitting, that space is available and has been approved for this. And did you want to mention the indoor facility, sister?
Well, just that, you know, we're making, because, you know, we know that sometimes the weather can do whatever it wants to do. So we're just looking at another location that's near the burial ground, just in case, you know, the weather is not conducive. So we'll give people some more insight or updates next week or as we proceed to kind of, you know, as we lock things down. But we're letting folks know now, mark your calendar for that weekend.
Absolutely. So, yeah, that would be awesome. If there's, you know, a bus could come from Philly, that would be wonderful. And so hopefully that would be in the works.
Well, I'm going to tell you the truth about Philly now. Philly, I don't see a bus because these people are in Philly. It's very cliquish, and the cliques are, a lot of them or the majority of them are connected to the system. And so anything that's a little too radical or what they would perceive as radical, they're going to shy away from it. Philly has become they become more of like cowards. I got to say it like that. They really have. Mm-hmm. However, what we can look at doing is combining possible, because we have a New York, we got folks in New York, we have some folks in Newark. And so maybe there's a way that we can combine some of our families in these, because those cities are not far from Philly. You know, they're like 2 hours away. But the point is, maybe we can connect some of our other families, extended families, and do something with vans. Because this is what we did when we went to New York the other day. Billy used to take a bus and a caravan, cars. They don't do it anymore. Yeah. To go to Malcolm X gravesite. They don't do it anymore. We used to have a serious contingency. No more. We only had a van, a regular van that went up this time. But my point is that is something that could be feasible, you know, to rent a van or something of that nature. But these Negroes, they ain't doing no buses no more. And you missed earlier what Brother Ray Ray was saying. There used to be buses that came from different cities from the Malcolm X pilgrimage. That didn't happen yesterday. That didn't happen. And this has been going on for 58 years.
Yes,
but only one bus came yesterday.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yep, it's usually a bus that comes in from Detroit. Yeah, so my point is, I've learned now, sister, to be a lot more realistic about what's going on in the movement with our people. Yeah. A lot of it is glitz and glamour, Black Lives Matter and all this stuff. And that stuff is not real. Well, you know.
Indeed.
I mean, you know. It's not real. But I'm just saying, the folks here in Philly, you know, it is sad what has happened in this city. It's really sad. And in other cities as well. other cities as well. However, what we're working on is reaching the brothers and sisters that we know are about it, as Dr. Khalid would say. And
yeah.
So there's great activities coming up prior to August. Of course, there's the East, the Africa Street Festival in Brooklyn that's coming up in July. Here from
mm-hmm.
Philly in June is Odun Day. There's a lot of, you know, activities going on that do attract, you know, black folks, and quite a few of them, you know, do appreciate our history and culture. So my plan is, you know, we will look at marketing or at least, you know, getting information at some of those locations as opposed to just focusing on the city. You know what I'm saying? Because these people now, they somewhere else. They looking at the housewives. they're looking at the what are them people, the Atlanta housewives or the somebody housewives. They into that.
Yeah, we've got too much work to do for that foolishness.
Oh, yeah. But that's why I said, you know, I looked at it closer and I said, let's look at some of the elders, because I've been talking to some of the elders and, you know, they want to do some things. And they want to share that information, that those stories, the experiences, they want to share that with some serious folk.
Indeed.
You know, so to create that kind of cipher or that kind of, you know, environment for them, I think it's doable. And that's one of the things. And then, you know, there are other a few other groups that I'm looking at. You know, talking with to be involved, again, as opposed to what used to be our communities in some of these cities, because they're just not functional anymore like they were.
Indeed. It's really sad. Yes. Okay. We've got work to do.
Absolutely. So, listen, I know you have to go, but before you do, tell us a little bit about the library. And you know, in the future, family, we'll be telling you more about some of the other kinds of things that Sister Angela and the Khalifa family are doing in developing and building the land, the things that they want to establish there on the land. But tell us a little about the library, what it is and what it does presently. And one other thing, family, starting in June, those who are connected to MWM, you will be able to get books from us. Yep, we have secured our first publishers. And Sister Khalifa, Sister Angela can tell you about that as well. But starting in June, we will make available to you our book list, and some of those books will include books that's being published by Kai Books. So, Sister Angela, share a little bit of that with us.
So, thank you. So, the Matt Turner Library has been servicing the community for over 40 years. Baba Khalifa has been responsible for starting a lot of the black bookstores, especially in the South, by providing them with book inventory. So the Nat Turner Library represents a repository of thousands of books that have been written by black authors about black life, history, and culture. And we have a lot of books that are out of print. We have a lot of one-of-a-kinds, and we also have a reference resource library for those books that are out of print, that are not for sale, that one could, once we have rebuilt our building, you would be able to come in and actually just sit and, you know, make use of those books as well. But, yes, we do have books that are for sale. We are in the process of updating our website, and so that would be online on next week, in which you will get to see a list of the books that are available, and in Prashi, you also have a list as well that you will share.
Yep.
So, yes, we are, and we're in the book publishing business, so if you've got if you're pregnant with a book idea and it's time to, you're ready to give birth to it. You know, that is something that we do and have been doing for quite some time, Elder Khalifa. And so, yes, Cobb Book Publishing is still in business, and we're happy to serve our community in that way by publishing, you know, wholesome content. We do not publish all works. We have received submissions, you know, from authors whose works are just not something that is going to uplift our community. And so we have a standard. It's not about how much money is involved. It's really about, you know, just maintaining a certain level of integrity for what we're going to put out to the world. So right. We're thankful. So yes, and so in addition to books, we also have we do have collectible posters. They are lithographs from the 80s, and they are images. We've got like King Tut, we've got Isis, we've got various Cleopatra. So we have just a range of T-shirts, caps. We've got the mugs. So we have a whole in addition to the books. We do have what's called the 1831 gift shop. And
wow.
So that will be featured online next week. But meanwhile, you know, we could be contacted prior to next week by email, which is nattturnerlibrary@yahoo.com.
All right. Wonderful. Very good. All right, my sister. So listen, again, family, lock in those dates. And again, next week we'll be giving you some updates. I can tell you that we're also looking at doing hopefully a piece that will focus on hip hop, but because this is the 50th year of hip hop. But what we want to begin to do is bring in another kind of energy. Again, people talk about, well, here's the problem. And we get that, and we should talk about the problem. But at the same time, what are we talking about as solutions? So if we're not trying to develop and create our own music, then what the garbage and other stuff that these people put out there for us is what our children is going to have. So we're looking at utilizing this time period when we go down to the Nat Turner site to begin recruiting new artists. So we'll talk about the impact of hip-hop as well as our music, period. But since this is the 50th year anniversary, we want to talk about the impact of hip-hop in terms of the conscious input or the conscious contributions, like X-Clan, Diggable Planets, Arrested Development, Public Enemy. We want to talk about some of them, you know, in terms of the message and the information that they were able to put out through the genre known as hip-hop. But now, where do we go from here? Again, what are we talking about creating that is going to take us to the next level and raise that frequency? We got some suggestions for you. See, so this is what we're talking about, examining the past, Gil Scott-Heron, Last Poets, and others that inspired many of, you know, at least some of what you're hearing or what we did hear. We want to connect this stuff together and then go and see where we're going in the next part of it. So we say from bebop to hip-hop to ma'at. How about that?
Indeed. Ashe.
So, my sister, I thank you. And listen, we will talk with you again next week. We'll have some updates, family, for you and how you can register because there is a registration for the tour. There's a registration for the awards presentation. Is that correct, Sister Angela?
Yes, all of that will be on the site next week.
Okay, so we'll have some updates for everyone next week. And very briefly, well, we'll wait till next week, family, if you have questions or comments, you know, have them ready for next week, because, again, you know, we're going to bring Sister Angela back, and we'll have more information for you, and we'll go from there. Oh, Sister Angela, one other quick thing before you go. One of our collaborations, which we'll also be sharing more with you for next week, is the collaboration that you heard us talk about actually last year, and that is our 25 Sister Saints. We are ready
yes.
to move forward with that. So very soon
awesome.
We will have that coloring book, an activity book available featuring some of our Sister Saints. And Sister
yes.
Angela is doing the illustrations and helping us to put the actual information and activities together for the children, but also for the adults, too. The adults will play a role in it as well.
Absolutely, yes.
All right.
It's for all.
All right. Yes.
Okay.
So we'll have,
dear sister.
We'll have that information for next week.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us on your show.
Absolutely. Yep. Looking forward to it. Y'all have a blessed
yeah.
weekend, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you so much, and peace to everyone. Peace and blessings.
Yeah. Peace to you, my sister. All right, family. So, again, that was Sister Angela Khalifa. And so, you know, they have the land, actually own the land that Nat Turner lived on and you know, enacted to me it's like a resurrection, but you know, of course, it was, some said it was an insurrection, but the point is we want to commemorate the action, the tenacity, the courage. And so, you know, these are some of the things that we have to make sure that our children and even adults know and understand, that not all of our people were as easily, you know, going along with things. Let's put it that way, that there was resistance in a lot of different ways. And so we have to be cognizant of that and teach that as well, all right? And so, you know, as quiet as it's kept, a lot of our people did, in fact, create different types and forms of resistance. And we've got to now do that ourselves today, okay? So moving right along. Let me see. I'm going to go back to Brother Ray Ray for a moment. And again, family, if you all have a question or a comment, and again, particularly on this issue of Black nationalism, Brother Malcolm taught it 50-plus years ago. Here we are today crying and really, in some instances, but certainly complaining about gentrification, about miseducation, the school system, about police and governmental terrorism. But yet, we're not talking about how we can have our own collective societies. How about that? Now, at the end of this month, I will be participating in some of the sessions for the upcoming UN, it's actually 3 or 4 days that focuses on some of the UN activities that's relevant to the Permanent Forum for African People. Now, for those that do not know, next year begins the closing out for the International Decade for African People. Most of our people don't know anything about that. Why? So we're going to make sure that we do whatever we can to help the masses of our people to become a little more acquainted with that. Why is any of that important? And for some, they would say it's not. But that's not true. Anything that is happening for our people, and particularly when it's done internationally, that has some relevancy. And note, one of the things that happened with Mumia Abu-Jamal in terms of, one, helping to get him off of death row. Court trial or court appearance or court proceedings, rather. It was some of that also came about as a result of submitting some things into the United Nations entity areas where opinions or other kinds of statements were provided. Those things did help. So again, sometimes those are a few things that can, in fact, have an impact. But if nothing else, our people should at least know about it. They should not be ignorant based on the fact that somebody thinks that, oh, well, you know, that's not important, or they shouldn't know, or they're not going to understand. That's really what goes on with that. That's okay. Like Brother Malcolm taught, make it plain. That's all we got to do, make it plain. So, again, at the end of the month, there are some sessions coming up in New York, at the United Nations, and it will start focusing on some of the things that have discussions that have already occurred in the past couple of years. And as folks get ready for next year, which will be the closing year for the decade for African people. And if we don't have at least some positions that we can submit to at least convey to other countries, then that's not going to look good for us. So let me go back to Brother Ray Ray for a moment. And family, if you have a question, comment, thought, please press 1 now, and we certainly will bring you into the dialogue. Hey, Brother Ray Ray, back to you. What are your thoughts about August? You think you might want to join us in August to go out to the Nat Turner's commemoration? I thought I had Brother Ray Ray with me. I guess maybe. Are you there, Brother Ray Ray? Do I still have you?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
There you go. Yeah, what are your thoughts? You think you can join us maybe in August?
Hopefully, yeah. It seems like it's, you know, we only a couple of months away.
Yeah.
Not far away.
Right, come out for the day, yeah, absolutely. Because there's going to be, Sister's also working on arts and culture presentation. I'm working on, as I said, something that will focus on, you know, the 50-year commemoration of hip-hop, but then the context of our arts and culture, and what can we now do? For example, I'm getting ready to hold auditions here in Philly for next month. It's Black Music Month. And I'm putting it out to the sisters, both the young sisters and the older sisters. But for the young sisters, we're putting together the Philly Black Girls Freedom Choir. And then we'll come to other cities and hold auditions in the other cities. And then have the national. But for now, it will be Philly, and then we'll go on the road and take it and hold auditions. And this will be for young girls 7 to 17. And it'll be the Black Girls Freedom Choir. You see? So these are some of the initiatives that we're now bringing forward. Because, again, we could talk about what's going on, this is the problem, da-da-da-da, but until we start at least trying to come up with some solutions, how are we going to instill this information in the youth? So with the Black Girl Freedom Choir, some of the songs that they're going to be doing are some of the you know, the creative songs from some of our sheroes and heroes too, but definitely some of our sheroes,
yeah.
Some of our sisters. You see? So these are some
y'all got that stuff planned up.
Absolutely. Hey, Brother Ray Ray, look, for some of us, Kwanzaa is not just December. The principles is not just December. Kaumba, creativity. Kujichangalia, self-determination. Nia, faith. Imani faith. See, so, you know, I can't just do that in December. I have to try to embrace these things on a regular basis and then come up with how to exemplify it. And so there it is, right? So now we know we're going to be in Virginia. And so now we know that, you know, the young sisters that are in that Virginia area, we can start with their auditions. That way we can do our own recording, our own CDs, our own visuals of our own youth, our own children performing, sharing their gifts and talents in terms of edutainment. These are some of the things that we have to now put in place. Right? So, you know. But, brother, Reverend, let me know. If you and some of the family from New York, you know, let's talk and see if we can spend that day together at the Nat Turner celebration. And by the way, for those who did not hear Sister Angela mentioned who the guest speaker is for the day, is Dr. Umar Johnson. He's the guest speaker for the day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And again, it's a fundraiser. It's used as a fundraiser so that, you know, the further development of, you know, the building of the land or of doing things that's relevant to that, it lends to that. So, you know, that's his way of supporting, because they're looking to do things on that land. And you know, Brother Ray Ray, we hear Sister Keisha often talk about, you know, when Brother Alton and Sister Leola had the camp, right? Well, this location could be another possibility to have a camp for the children, for the youth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So these are some of the things that we're looking at literally accomplishing. They have the land. So to have some proper support, hey, it's unlimited. But keep that thought. And again, you know, give us some thought so we have a good month to do more planning. And, you know, let's see what we can do. But listen, let's go to caller. You are at 2274. 2274. Your mic is open. Welcome to this segment, A New Day.
Yes, emphasis, Brother Adrian. Can you hear me?
Hey, Brother Adrian. Absolutely. Baton Rouge in the house.
Just want to make you aware that also in the celebration of Nat Turner, friends of mine in August is going to be celebrating Marcus Garvey. So I would like to talk to you, of course, offline about how we could connect that live stream so therefore we could put out to more people the importance of black people supporting each other by honoring two ancestors who gave their lives doing just that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, every year we also commemorate the Honorable Marcus Garvey. And usually, particularly for New York, by the way, but sometimes they do it in Philly because Philly actually had the national or the international headquarters for quite a while. But every year they do their convention on or around August 17th. Yeah, every year.
And the reason why I'm saying that, because I know that there are people in Baton Rouge who might not be aware of Nat Turner, as well as Marcus Garvey is in its intent. And now that we're doing these Saturday markets where we're building up the community of Scotlandville, that's the area around Southern University that we're trying to economically develop for the past couple of years. And the next couple of years, we intend to have skyscrapers and fitness programs and several other things. And starting last week, all the way up to July 15th, up to June 15th, Every Saturday from 5 to 8, we're going to have live entertainment, a big stage out to help bring the community together as we support those businesses, black-owned businesses that we're trying to redevelop in that area of Scotlandville around Southern University. So I want to stay in contact. We got a spark lit. We're trying to take that spark into a forest fire as far as educating people about our history as well as supporting it and supporting it economically, because we're working towards some economic independence. My former co-host, Louis Ali, he bought 36 acres of land. He has an AVT park as well as a home garden, and he bought several buildings to try to help develop those areas, those businesses around Scotlandville. And we want to be in contact with individuals that's doing the same and make Baton Rouge aware of some things that they might not be privy to. So I'm excited about it. I look forward to it. And every day that I wake up, that's what I'm working towards.
All right. So, Brother Adrian, let me ask a question, because, you know, we are also looking at not just economic development, but how to connect black businesses in such a way that it's not just the focus of making money. I mean, of course, folk need money, but we want to connect with black businesses that are also, you know, wanting to do things in the community or wanting to do things politically, because, you know, as it has been said, almost everything is connected to politics in some kind of way, shape, fashion, or form. And so while we're not an advocate of, you know, a whole bunch of this nonsense, we do recognize the fact that there has to be some political apparatuses put in place. There's no getting around that. You know, if you're going to be connected, yeah, we know that that's just real. So, but my point is, we can lessen, you know, hanging that is connected to it or other stuff that's connected to it. We can at least lessen some of that if we're doing some things that is, in fact, going to benefit our communities. And so we want to focus more. Yeah, we want to focus on connecting with black businesses. So here's the bottom line. We came up with, and again, as Brother Ray Ray said, you know, we plan some stuff out. Well, we have to. We can't be like everybody else and do like everybody else or most are, which is just have conversations.
No, everybody else got off of us.
Right, right. But I'm talking about the Negroes. I'm talking about the folk who are in our communities, not really doing stuff to help our communities, by the way, and definitely not independent, meaning trying to get us to have our own everything, schools, health facilities, libraries, as the sister has in the family, those kinds of things. See, that's what really makes a community. That's what really makes a people. Other than that, you just got neighborhoods or organizations or groups or whatever. If you don't have some things that deals with sustain us, if you don't have that, then that's not building of a people. And the enemy knows that. White folks know that. So that's why they don't encourage us to have our own, because they know that that's fundamental for a people to develop. You see? So some of us are clear about that. So my point is, we want to connect now with some businesses that get it. That you know, yeah, they want to make money, but they also want to see our people develop in our communities so that we can begin to do things that is a bit more collective and a bit more productive, right? So these are some of the things. Go ahead.
And this is why I'm so excited about some of the individuals that I'm talking about and some of the groups and collaborations that I've been making the past several years for that reason, online and offline, where we can collaborate. And these individuals, I need these individuals and these groups, I need to introduce to the We Charge Genocide 21 program. And when you talk about the politics, this is why we had State Senator Regina Barrow in the situation we're going through and the plan that we're working on now to try to set up economic boycotts. But in order to do that, we have to have some type of stability for ourselves. So, yes, all right. What you're talking about, all what you're doing, yes, we're going to the same top of the mountain because – we need to do those things so we could be self-sustaining in all areas, politics, economics, health. People are talking about celebrating the month of mental illness. We need to address all that. We can and we will. And the non-blacks that control the economics in the black community, they got it from us because not only did we show them how to do it, but we allow them to do it. But we can change those things. All we need is a handful of us. And if the masses don't get on board, that's fine. But the ones of us who believe that will take that torch. And that's how it gets started. That's how everything gets started. That's how the Nat Turner rebellion, speaking of Nat Turner. Nat Turner, they had 9,000 black people ready to put in work as far as to get us free from slavery. But they didn't have internet. They didn't even have telephones, regular telephones. They didn't even have television. They had to use notes when they weren't legally allowed to read and write, to pass notes to each other on different plantations in different cities. And they didn't have maps, but was able to pull that off because they stayed connected and was able to communicate with each other. That's a lesson we need to learn from Nat Turner and Marcus Garvey, who didn't have those things, but were able to do great things because they was able to collaborate and stay in communication with each other. So we, in our community, we don't communicate with each other. But those of us who believe in this mission and believe in this vision and believe in the ownership of land, believe in food, clothes, and shelter and providing those things, stable families, strong marriages, single people, however they're single, being able to be strong, we have to be able to collaborate and communicate with each other and build those communities online, offline at the same time.
I say, all right, Brother Adrian, I hear you fired up. I love it. Absolutely. Well, you know, again, I'd like to have these conversations, but I also am now very proactive in making sure that we're able to be productive because that's an area that I have not been as, you know, to the degree that I would want to have been over the years. And it was mainly because I had a lot of faith and confidence in other people and thinking that they were going to help, support, or whatever. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. So now I'm not under that illusion anymore. So here's what's getting ready to happen. On a national level, and again, we're kicking it off here in Philly, I've created something called UBBA, UBBAA. And here in Philly, years ago when I was coming up, there was something called UBBA. It was a guy named Georgie Woods. He was called Georgie Woods, the man with the goods. But he was a radio disc jockey, for lack of a better word. That's what they called them then. But like in New York, you had the Apollo. Here in Philly, you had the Uptown. And the Uptown would feature all of the, you know, the black artists, Marvin Gaye and, all, you know, Stevie Wonder and all of that, you know. And so we came up with people who, you know, had this entrepreneur, you know, kind of mindset. So the bottom line is, coming up here in Philly, Georgie Woods, who had the ears of the people because folks listened to the radio then, he created something called UBBA. And he organized the black businesses in Philadelphia. And they were political. They were the ones who was in the community, and they were the ones who would decide, you know, who was going to get the vote. Not so much as just the every, you know, the people, where they got this thing set up now is different. People in our community literally were organizing. Business Association, United Black Business Association, UBA. So over the years, news to say it got co-opted and then it totally dissipated, and, you know, he died and all of that. But my point is, at some point, that stuff was working. It was, I mean, they had a Black Business Association, and they were no joke. They was doing some things, right? So I am recreating or reigniting some of the things that used to be here and in other cities that demonstrated Black folks were really serious about doing some things. Before this 501 stuff got into effect, before, you know, all this other drama and stuff going on and having to be with white folks all the time and da 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 da, we want to look at what can we do, what must we do, and here are some of the examples. So I'm now creating UBA, but it's UBBAA, United Black Business Association and Alliances. And the reason why I have to put alliances in is because we want to make sure that we're doing business with Africa and the diaspora. So the CARICOM countries, so recognizing that, you know, different groups don't necessarily want to be Black business. They want to be Jamaican business or Caribbean business or African business or whatever. So we want to keep it so that, you know, anybody can join and be a part of it without feeling alienated. Right. So again, it's United Black Business Association and Alliances. Right. Now, here's what's getting ready to happen. Have you seen our newspaper yet, Brother Adrian? The National
Not
Black
yet.
Unity newspaper? Well, for the
no,
July.
I haven't read it yet.
Okay. Well, I'm going to send you the latest one for the July edition. There's going to be a special, because I'm one of the co-editors, there will be a special segment. We did it only to see how it might work a few months back. We had a few folks that, you know, did submit their articles or their ad, and I just wanted to do it like a test run, but we did it. So now for July, for the next edition comes out in July, because it comes out every 3 or 4 months. For July, there'll be a special section, and it'll be in support of the Million Woman March, Universal Movement, the We Charge Genocide, and some of our other projects. And we're asking Black businesses to put their business card or whatever. If they want to do a larger one, that's fine too. But here's the thing. We want at least 100. From all over the country, at least 100. And we call them the 100 percenters. The 100 percenters. Now, years ago, there was kind of a popular group known as the 10 percenters. We want to create the 100 percenters that are 100% Black and down with self-determination. The 100 percenters. And so for $100, they can place their ad in the newspaper, which is a hard copy newspaper and also online. So anywhere in the world, their ad can be seen for $100. That's what we're offering. And this will support MWM and the Million Woman World March. What's your thoughts about that, Brother Adrian?
I'm agree with that 100 trillion percent. In addition to that, what I'm gonna try to do is try to get eMedia on board with that to help promote it, because some of the businesses, the only thing that some of our businesses are missing is marketing and promotions outside of word of mouth. So if we can help in addition to word of mouth, because word of mouth really is the best form of advertising, but in addition to word of mouth, that we market and promote excellence, and we try to help as well as instilling in our business owners and the individuals who want to go into entrepreneurship excellence. Because I always tell the entrepreneurs who say that I was their inspiration to start their business, I always tell them, chase excellence, not money. Chase excellence. So we want to market and promote that, yes, this can work, and yes, we can, because there's some of our people who are senior citizens even, unfortunately, who believe that black people can't do business with each other. When we show that, yes, this works, yes, we need to tell the whole world that, yes, we can do business with each other as well as be happy with each other, as well as fellowship with each other, as well as have healthy families, as well as decimate mental illness. See, we do those things and showcase that through the whole world. I'm with that 100 trillion percent, and I'm going to try to not only get Emedia on board, but some of the other marketing and promotion companies that I'm in contact with on board. And when you talked about politics, this is why a couple of weeks ago, if you remember, State Senator Regina Barrow, who was disrespected as a state representative of Louisiana, this is why we need our own independence across the board.
That's
so
right.
So we could be able to protect our women and children, because as a man, we got to protect our women and children as a man.
That's right. All right now. So again, family, what we're saying is what you will be hearing from me and others is, if not actual plans of action, at least potential or suggested. I don't have all the answers. I'm not trying to have all the answers, but I know that there's some things that we can do. And so that is definitely what we're going to do. You know, as the saying goes, Brother Adrian, nothing beats a failure than not to do it or something like that. I forget the whole slogan.
Yeah, nothing beats
a
failure but a try.
Right, exactly. Yep, so go ahead.
Yeah, real quick, and the reason why I know that saying, because my grandmother, my mom's mother, had seven children and a husband who was a laborer, when she started a restaurant with a seventh grade education, and my grandfather on my mom's side who had a fourth grade education. My grandmother was cooking for a lady for several years, for 7 years, and said, wait a minute, I'm getting pennies on the dollar. I need to start my own business. And with a seventh grade education and a husband and seven kids, because my mom is number six out of seven. So I didn't know if my uncle was born there, but she had seven children and a husband when she started a restaurant and owned two businesses. Who used to tell me, nothing beats a failure but a try? So obviously it worked, because she was very successful, and her husband paid the house off and sent all the children who wanted to go to college to college. So when people say nothing beats a failure but a try, for you not to do it at all, if you quit before you get started, you fail. That's a failure. Failure is not going into business or going to college and being pushed out. That's not a failure. Failure is when you lay down and stay down.
That's
if
right.
If you get back up, you never fail. So I want to encourage all of us, let's get up. And how about I help you get up by us pulling each other up? What you're talking about, if we create a support system, then we can do these things. We will do these things. Because as Nat Turner and Marcus Garvey and Gabriel Prosser and Noble Drew Ali and Callie House and Fannie Lou Hamer and all the great men and black men and women that came before us, they created support systems. Now, were they support systems in mass? Not all the time, but they had support systems. If we be a part of the support system, I know this thing can work on whatever level: politics, economics, family, health, mental, all across the board, all across the world.
Okay. Well, you know, again, we've been telling people for the past couple of years that we had a plan. You know, we call it the Black Print Agenda 25, and we put different portions of it in place over the course of the past 10 years just to kind of, you know, get a better idea of what things might work, what things would be better, and so forth. So we've been, you know, looking at doing these things, and in some situations actually did do them. And again, we had to go through a trial and error process. Well, now we're at a point where we kind of know how to proceed. Not kind of. We know how to proceed, and that's what you're getting ready to see. So the Black Print Agenda 25. Brother Adrian, again, I will send you the information, if I haven't, for the UN sessions. I think you might still be able to catch the online sessions. And again, we want to familiarize our people with some of the things that's going on the national and international level. It's important that our people know, because if we don't know these things, we'll leave it for others to tell it to us or to represent us. And we won't even know what they're doing, because we will have no idea that this stuff is going on. And they're in these circles representing us, you see. And so some of these issues are relevant, and some of it does matriculate into resources and or some other impacts on our communities. So folks need to be aware of this. So, again, we're going to start making sure that we put that information out. But starting this week, family, you will begin to get information that will help others, our people in particular, our extended family folk right here on New Day and our MWM components. They're going to get kind of the first kinds of information. But the point is disseminating that information. And with that, some of the plans of action that go with some of the areas of concern. So with that said, Black businesses and organizations, starting next week, you'll get what I just said, which is we're asking folks to support the Million Woman World March. And note, it's not just a march. We're talking about obtaining property. We're talking about fighting this system with lawsuits. We're talking about looking at the possibility of obtaining a school building, but not in the context of, you know, well, we want donations for that. No, 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 no. We want to fight the system to get this, given the fact that, for example, here in Philly, they closed 30 school buildings. At least 10 of them are still vacant. In Chicago, they closed 100. In Detroit, they closed 50. All of these buildings are going to developers. So we're not saying we want to raise money in order to purchase the building. That ain't what we're saying. We're saying if it's owned by the city or the state as a part of reparatory justice, we want them built. We want something. That's what we're saying. This is a little different. And so this stuff is doable, considering the fact that you have different cities now and different states that are talking about how they can deal with this issue of reparations. Well, we're going to make it a little simpler. You already have certain things right there sitting. We want that. You see? So again, with people supporting our efforts, it's more so in doing the work that we have to do. We have lawsuits to file, a whole bunch of other things that have to happen, communications, apparatuses, and other things that have to happen. These are the types of areas that people can support at this particular time. And if you don't, that's okay too, because we're going to get this done, rest assured, some kind of way. In the spirit of Brother Malcolm, by any and all means necessary. That's how we feel about this. By any and all means necessary. See, so... This is a different thing that's going on now. Very different.
And what's necessary is for us of like minds to collaborate, to come together to get it done that can be done. And
well,
not just the professionals, but also the trades and all of that.
Oh, absolutely. But see, MWM already showed that. We already did that, showed from the grassroots through the glass ceiling. That's one of my mottos. We've already showed that. We included everybody of our people. No matter what walk of life you was in, you had just as much capability to be involved on whatever level. I created that and caught a lot of flack for it, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
And like Brother Ray Ray was saying earlier about Brother Malcolm, how people confronted him and wanted to buy him out or you know, wanted him to sell out. The same thing with me and others. That's what they do. You already know that that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And but what I didn't realize was to what extent our own people would not support. Now, that I wasn't ready for, because I believe in our people in a way that was, you know, it wasn't intelligent. It really wasn't, now that I think about it. I mean, but I did. I believe that our people would support something that, you know, of a certain type, that wasn't about a whole bunch of hype, that wasn't about, you know, da 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 da. I believed it. I was wrong.
Yeah.
I was wrong.
That's one reason I'm out of radio now.
Right, yeah, all
but guess
wrong,
what?
But it's okay. Yeah, it's okay, because lessons go with this stuff. So I learned that lesson, so now I am not doing that one again. I'm not going to depend on nobody. I'm going to figure this thing out, and it'll be without kissing butt and selling out. You see, so I'm good. That was a lesson that I had to learn, and I did. So when you hear me say certain things, best believe I'm not dependent on that at all. At all. I already got another plan. See, but again, things have to be done on various levels simultaneously. And I'll tell you, I'll say this now because this will manifest in the next couple of weeks. For those that don't know, we're getting ready to partner with one of the Cochrane firms, lawyers. One of Johnny Cochran's lawyers, or from his firm. And the reason is, see, this is why I said I'm not waiting for people to do anything. I'm going to ask because I like to see the game that people play. I like to see how folks talk a lot of stuff and do next to nothing. And then I can bring them the receipts, because at least I asked. But for real, in the next couple of weeks, you'll hear on this program the attorney. And she's from one of the Cochrane firms. And what's getting ready to happen is I will be holding hearings in Philly, New York, New Jersey, Atlanta, and it'll be for women. And the hearings is going to be around women who have experienced some kind of problem as a result of them putting those relaxers in their hair.
That caused all those chemical imbalances and
that's right.
Brain tumors and all
now.
That.
It's a big thing now. And so I've already secured an attorney who is a part of a suit that is going to be filed in the near future. But MWM will be holding the initial hearings so that the sisters can put on record their testimony. That's an MWM project. Ain't no black women out here doing nothing like that. You understand what I'm saying? So, see, I'm not depending on people, because I already know how that could work out for you. Been there, done that one. But I'm going to still go through the little, you know, game with it. but I'm just letting people know I'm not waiting for you. Oh, no. We already have a plan. And that's just one of the plans, because that's not to say that one will work. But my point is, we've learned over these past years that we have to do certain things, and we're going to do it. And we're not going to make, and we're going to do it in a way where we're not obligated to anybody or owing anybody or anything like that. We got jammed up in that kind of stuff before, and that's not happening again like that. Membership is coming for those, well, we already have it, but we're going to put that out there further. For the membership drive is now underway. One in a million, the membership drive is now underway, but starting next week, it'll start going into greater, advertising or matriculation, marketing. So the one in a million membership is in the effort to obtain a million members. Now, we didn't get a chance to talk about Nanny Helen Burroughs. I thought that the Colonel was coming on. But Nanny had, you heard last week, Nanny Helen Burroughs had over 700,000 members in the early 1900s.
Mm. Without
like
internet
without none of that. And I'm saying to these
through
guys,
the mailing system.
That's right. I'm like, yo, no. And so I'm going to make it real easy. And again, not because I'm depending on that, but because there has to be certain actions. And so our one in a million membership drive will start with $1. We'll start with $1. They can be a member for $1, a support member for $1. Because we need to get those numbers, and we need to be able to get access to people and to be able to provide them with information. That's really what it's about. How do we get people to get information that we want them to have that's going to help change their mindsets? You see? Because that has to happen, and particularly with the sisters, because they don't want to have the children. Most of the time, particularly in the early years of life. So if the sisters is running around with all this foolishness in their heads, what is that going to mean for the children? You see, but anyway, I digress. Family, listen, we're going to close this session. We've been talking with our brother Adrian. Of course, he's one of our brothers in support, as well as one of our ambassadors for the We Charge Genocide 21. And again, we get ready to up the ante. We're going to move this thing forward because we have to. Yesterday, again, Malcolm X, we commemorated his Earth Day, and now we have to make sure that his life and the work that he showed us, the mission, the thought processes, we have to take it to the next level now. And that is our intention with the Malcolm X Legacy Collective. He's the one that went to Africa in 1964. We have to make sure we honor that work. And so we shall.
And
Adrian, thank you so much.
And argued the case in the United Nations. And speaking of Malcolm X, just not to nullify it, I wanted to make a mention that Minister Farrakhan celebrated 90 years. He's 90 years old now.
Yep, absolutely. No doubt about it. So, family, listen, we're going to close this session out again. We thank you all tuning in. I want to thank Brother Adrian for helping me fill in the gap tonight, because we were supposed to have two folks on that unfortunately did not call in for whatever reason, but it's okay. Because the conversation was always good with Brother Ray Ray and, of course, with Sister Angela. So we had a good program. And, again, tune in on Thursday. Sister Keisha will have Brother Razakan, Sister Pam Africa's husband. But he's also a paralegal, and he's also done an extensive amount of research on Mumia Abu-Jamal's case. And there is a new development, which I will not tell you right now. Tune in to Sister Keisha's program, because then you'll have time to hear the whole thing. All right, and that's Thursday at 8 o'clock, Thorough Black Talk. All right, Brother Adrian, again, I thank you much. And let folks know, again, how they can stay in touch with you.
All you have to do is subscribe for free to www.emediagc.com. That's www.emediagc.com. And click Community Defender or call 225-571-2274. Email communitydefender@yahoo.com. That's the communitydefender@yahoo.com. The Community Defender, we go to war.
All right now. So listen, family, we are going to close the session out. Again, we thank you all for tuning in. And if you want more information about MWM, the upcoming Global Africana Women's Power and Leadership Summit, that'll be happening along with the Million Woman World March. Again, this is not just a march. This is not just a gathering or an assembly. There's going to be caucusing, for lack of a better word, workshops, and other kinds of interactions with sisters. And by the way, next week we'll tell you more about the campaign for there to be a holiday for a black woman. That's right. We're getting ready to put that in place. Why? Because we just need to do that. Again, we have Dr. Martin Luther King. We have that as a holiday. Good, better, and different, it is a holiday. So why wouldn't there be a recognition of a black woman? So we're going to make sure that that happens. It's a matter of principle. That time has come. So now we're going to see who really cares about what's going on with our women now and in the future. All right now. Be back next week with that little bit of information for you. All right, Brother Adrian, again, I thank you much. And, you know, let's talk later on this week because, again, we're getting ready to move forward with the Black Whirlwind News. And that's our segment that will be featured in the National Black Unity News. So, you know, so again, some of that is going to be article-oriented. So if you have some ideas about, you know, some of the things that we might want to put into our section of the paper, then, you know, let's talk about that. But again, family, we got a whole month. We need 100 business card or organization ads starting at $100. Again, that's not a donation. We're doing business here. We're advertising your business, your product, your group, your organization. Anyone will have access to that online. It's a beautiful paper. It's all color. 11 by 17. And for those in certain cities, you can get it physical, or you can order it. You can get the physical copy that you can hold in hand. Or you can go online. You can't beat that. And we're going to do promotional stuff to help people to come to visit the website so they can see who our business partners are. We've created the name for our business partners. We call them the Ujima Ujama Partners, Collective Working Responsibility and Cooperative Economics, the Ujima Ujama Partners. Anyway, moving right along. All right, Brother Adrian, we are out. Want to thank Brother Ray Ray again. Again, big ups to the folks yesterday over at, of course, the Malcolm X commemoration. And, hey, we will talk to y'all next week. All right. Peace out.